Okay, so we left off yesterday. We were talking about preparations of Kalim before you do a Hagolah on them. So we mentioned Tyson's dilemma that every time you do a Hagolah, so the Bliya is going to go out, come right back in again. How to get around that problem? So Tyson came up with a couple of answers. Either you make sure at the end of the Yomo, or you make sure there's Shishim in the water. We spoke about some of the issues involved in those answers. What if none of those answers work? So Tosafot Tzach had a big problem. Tosafot Tzach left us hanging. So if you remember, Tosafot didn't leave us totally hanging because it has it's partially related to what? Who remembers? What was part of this? Part of the dilemma could be solved with? With the Ben Ephraim, right? If you do a goal of multiple times. According to the Ben Ephraim, it says that there's no Chatik Mask available by Shari Surim. So if you do it one time, so you get some of the bliyas out. So then some of those, if you do it a couple of times, then eventually you'll get enough of the bliyas out that those remaining bliyas will be bottled with shishim. According to Ben Etam, that's non-starter, because according to Ben Etam, Chatik Mask available by Shari Surim. So then each time you cash with less than shishim, so you're going to end up trafing up the entire water. You have to start all over again. That was whose raya? Who brought a raya from the Tosis? That they hold the Chatik Mask available by Shari Surim is their raya. I don't remember. Was it Kvega's raya? Right? Did we talk about this? That the Ran says that even according to Ben Etam, Chatik Mask available by Shari Surim is only midrabban gzeira to bas mechalov. Kvega said, you see from Tosis that that's not true. If Tosis is bothering a kasha. What was their raya? Tells you the kasha. How could your kasha came with their raya? With the raya, if it's a big pot, you know, of shishim. With the raya, in a minyomo is not going to be the solution. Because with the Raisa, you never have to kasher Veda Ben Yom. So what was the Parshas HaTorah of Kasher and Caleb? So that was Tosis' dilemma. So you see that Tosis held, there was a real problem even on love of the Raisa. Is there any other way to solve this problem, to get around the soul issue? Let's say you don't want to wait 24 hours and you don't have a decli and you don't hope for Ben Ephraim. So what possible aces is available? So maybe you can create it next in time with Gam. So you throw something into the water that itself is po game. So then maybe that would be all right. So then it's automatically going to be in effect like an Eino Ben Yomo. That's what some of the commercial times, when they have to cash the things quickly and they don't want to wait 24 hours, I think they sometimes do those kinds of things. They throw stuff in to be pogame it, which is basically just repeating what Tyson said before. Okay, fine. So we have a little bit of preparation for cashering. And a few other things you have to keep in mind.
No problem doing that.
But we assume that's probably also you don't really care about it, so that's also not a problem. Okay, then we have a couple other things you have to be careful about before you kasher. The kli has to be clean. If you have, not because of chatitzas in terms of tefila, but in terms of it's going to interfere with the kashering process. Similarly, if you have rust, and things, anything that's on the kli, that's preventing the kashering from happening properly, that's going to be a problem as well. When you have a kli that you want to kasher to Hagolah, so you have to always be careful that maybe part of the kli Hagolah is not going to be sufficient for. This is a big problem when you have handles of klis that are screwed on. You have all kind of areas in between the different parts of the kli that they could have the end in there. So the poskim write that you can't really just do Hagolah. You have to do a libun on that part. So practically, how do you do libun? It depends on how you would normally do libun. So if you can, depending on what the handle is, if it's a plastic handle, it's going to be very hard to do libun on that. If it's a metal handle, you can hold it over the flame or something, or do it in such a way that it burns out that the end. That's the best etza. This man has there, between you and me, I tell people it's not even worth it to kasher pots. It's a big hassle, it's a big pain to next to kasher pots. It's cheaper to buy another pot than to spend an hour trying to figure out how to kasher the pot properly. But if you have to, you have to figure out an etza how to do that. In terms of silverware, so again, make sure silverware is clean, nothing, no end on it. And you throw it into a pot of water. Okay, so we spoke pretty much about the process of Hagolah in terms of the process of Hagolah itself, in terms of the Maim Roschid and the Aish, and Eru, things like that, and then a little bit of the preparation. What about post-kashering? Anything you should be aware of post-kashering. So there is a Tosis that quotes a minhag that existed and still exists, that if you finish kashering, so you should wash the kli off with cold water. The question is, where in the world did that minhag come from? So that minhag is one of two possible sources. So one source is maybe to throw back some of the things that we spoke about the bliyas coming out and going back in again. So maybe we're concerned that that maybe a little bit of bliyas sitting on the surface of the kli, so if you wash it off quickly, that'll solve that problem. And those who connect this back to what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Gemara says that a morach pshuta b'mayim, that after you do a mriku shtifa, part of mriku shtifa is putting it to boiling water like a goa. And then afterwards you need shtifa b'tzayin and you have to wash it off with cold water. So since you, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you used to wash it off with cold water, so that's what this minute came from also. even though the Rishonim write that there's no connection at all, there's a mitzvah shnifa, the washing off of the cold water doesn't really do anything in terms of kashrut. It's a special mitzvah satorah, but why in the world should that have any application over here? Kashrut pashrut is not a mitzvah for yodah. Kashrut is just a matya. One day in Rishonim, they counted kashrut kettle as one of the tag mitzvahs. Make a bracha, not for kettle, like that. But we don't, I don't even know if he would make a bracha, but we don't do that. We hold that it's not a mitzvah. He wants to throw the key into the garbage, throw it to the garbage. So once the bleas came out through the hot water, so well, it's a mitzvah to put it into cold water. The whole thing doesn't make any sense when it comes to kasher and kelim. But whatever it is, that's the minhag Yisrael, that we still do that. So after you finish kasher, so you're running under cold water for a split second. You didn't, so we're in the clearest kasher. Okay, so we spent most of the time talking about Hagol. Let's just talk for just a couple of minutes about Libun. So we mentioned that there's a big machlokes, and we showed him how Libun works. In terms of Libun work as Sreifas Isser. Others said that explains why you can do Libun on the Klicharis. And other Rishonim said no. Libun, the reason that Libun works on the Klicharis is a different reason. It's a new Kli, it's a whole new beginning. So that's why it's okay. We didn't really understand that, but that's what the Beit HaKam told us. If you hold that Libun doesn't work through Sreifas Isser, so how does it work? So by default, it probably works by Kabbalah Kach Poto. The Gemara has the phrase Kabbalah Kach Poto in only vis-a-vis Hagola. So Gemara Masechet Pesachim uses the phrase Kabbalah Kach Poto concerning Hagola. So according to the Ra'a, Kedafka doesn't work. Well, God be Libun works in a different way, but according to those who disagree with the Ra'a, maybe it really does work concerning Libun as well. Might have to mean it whether it works, whether Libun works derech Kabbalah Kach Poto, whether Libun works as a strength for the Isser. We said yesterday, we mentioned enough kamina in terms of mikdash akli maybe, but the most important enough kamina for us is concerning the ovens that we spoke about earlier on. This is chaza for a moment, that when both the Bavli and Yerushalmi say when you do Libun, so you have to have a very, very high flame for Libun. Either it's described as being the tzotzos nitzin, that there are sparks that are flying, or it's described as being that the klipas nasheris, that the outermost peel of the kli starts to peel away. It's something that's significantly hot. So the question is conceptually, why do you need these high numbers for a libun? Why do you have such an intense heat for a libun? So one can understand this one of two ways. Either one can understand that because the goal is to create the sreifas iser, destruction of the iser, so then kach shiruch hacham, that's the level. If you have less than that degrees, whatever that number on the thermometer is, anything less than that won't do the trick. Is that the pshat? That's why you need such a high number. Maybe no. Maybe the reason why you need such a high number is Kabbalah Kach Poto. Because since when you were cooking, nobody remembers how hot it was. It was sitting on a flame. So it's possible that it reached those degrees. So since it's possible to reach those degrees, so then you have to mimic that Kabbalah Kach Poto. Teaches us that you have to get to as hot as it was before. Man of Kamina, at the end of the day, you have to reach those shiur, man of Kamina. So, Chavadin of Kamina, let's say I know for a fact that I didn't reach those shiur. I know for certain that I only made it to 300 degrees. It was impossible to go more than 300 degrees. So even if it was in an open flame, and it wasn't derech Mayim or anything, but I know for a fact that it didn't get hotter than number X. So, is it enough to kasher it with number X and call it a day and say that's considered to be sufficient Libun? So, that depends. So if you hold, there's an absolute objective shear called Nitzelsus Nitzin, keeping the shear, it's got to reach X amount of temperature, and short of that, it won't do the trick, so then it's a problem. And it doesn't matter, I have Ruach HaKadosh, how hot it was, it doesn't matter, I still need a higher number. But if you hold that the whole reason for that high number is because it's impossible to know otherwise, so then if it's possible for me to know otherwise, so I know otherwise, and it should be okay. It should be fine for me to cash adjust with whatever, mimic whatever number I got. That's assuming that Kabbalah Kach Poto works in terms of temperatures. That's what Moshe Feinstein didn't like this whole Shtiklatar. We spoke about ovens back in Basel Chol days. But Moshe thought that this whole Shtiklatar is not correct because he thought that Kabbalah Kach Poto was only set on methods of kashering. It wasn't set on degrees of temperature. The only find the Gemara uses Kabbalah Kach Poto, Hagola, Mitzotos, things like that. But in terms of lowering the temperature based on Kabbalah Kach Poto, Lo Shemanu Davazemi Yerlu. So that's what Ramesha didn't buy into this whole method of kashering ovens through just turning it to the highest. It has to meet official number of Libun, which we said is usually not met by regular ovens. We possibly assume today that it is met in a self-cleaning oven. Those who disagreed with Ramesha, those who held that Libun is just has to be Kabbalah Kapoto, and then just has to be Kabbalah Kapoto, and then if we know that it was only 500 degrees, then we assume that that would be okay. You wouldn't have to go more than 500 degrees. At the time we spoke about ovens, we had a third possibility that was a Pekin Svara, and maybe you can kasher ovens with just turning them on to the highest for a different reason. Maybe you don't really need to leave it all together because maybe it's called the Bliya de Hamayim. Where's the Mayim? Teretz is, where's the Bliya in the first place? The whole Bliya was there, Chazaya. The only reason why there was a Bliya in the first place is because Zaya is like Mayim. So if Zaya is like Mayim Lechumra, Zaya should be like Mayim Lekula also. And as long as you heated it up, that should be good enough. So again, so those are the three different shittas that we spoke about, the Arichos back in those days, which then the lumbus behind those shittas all emanates from what exactly your understanding of Liban is. If Liban is straight for the Issa, then there's going to be nothing to negotiate. If Liban is to both that, then you can begin to be make it. There are other differences that we have between Liban and Hagola when it comes to Liban, so then we assume there's no need to wait 24 hours. You can kasher immediately if you're passing Derech Liban. The Rishonim made up a third category called the Liban Kal. That phrase doesn't appear in the Gemara at all. It's from Mordechai. And if it is Zohar that talks about Liban Kal, so the Mordechai says that what Liban Kal means is that it's not as hot as regular Liban. On the other hand, it's hotter than Hagola. So the Mordechai made a simple cheshbon. He says that if you have something that's had a Bliya, Ayyadeh Mayim, and we're willing to let you get away with Hagola, so Kavachimri, if you do a Liban Kal, that's also going to be okay. Anytime the halacha permits hagola, so liban kal can suffice. As we said, there are a few cases where hagola is acceptable, either if it's a bliya de amayim or if it's a bliya de esh, like a terabola. So then, whenever lamaisa hagola is going to be good enough, liban kal would also be good enough. How hot is liban kal? So there are different shirim that the Rishon throw around in terms of describing liban kal. So one shir that's floating around is kash nisra. You take a piece of straw and you put it on the metal, and you see whether it smolders, whether it starts to burn or not. So I haven't tried to experiment with that, but the other experiment is very easy. Just don't try to do it because you're going to burn your hands. That's what the Mordechai writes, that as long as the kli is yatzalez lo mibeis tzedakin, it means that even though the fire is only addressing one part of the kli, but the heat is spread to the other side of the kli, and the back of the kli is already yatzalez lo, that's already considered to be a liban kal. I don't think that's going to take all that long. Chametz Tzachem Kula here is going to help us. I don't think it's going to take very long. We turn on something for a couple of minutes. So last night we were talking about catching those pans. So I asked our mashgiach, I asked him how long will it take if you take those pans and throw them to an oven how long will it take? He said, not all that long. So, I don't know what temperature. You know, put it up a little bit, throw it in, it'll reach a Liban Kal.
Just with Liban in general, Liban Kal, so how long does it need to be in for? Once it's that temperature,
once it's that temperature.
And you just leave it and use it. Then wash it off also after that, or that was only
after? Oh, you have to wash it off.
So then you
can
use it
right away. I think so, yeah. So we sometimes invoke Liban Kal. Either we, like Kalim that need Hagola, just practically can't do Hagola, or Kalim that are terrible. It's easier to do Liban Kal, or according to maybe the ovens, depending on what we spoke about. We also do Liban Kal, we spoke about the grates. That the Mishnah writes that the whole idea of kashering grates in the first place is a big chumrah for Pesach. He said, "Because Negro didn't include Balaam and clean, right? Back to Pesach in Iran, back to Bas Mechov days. So it's nice how eventually everything is tied together, we hope. So if you want to put a paste stick of clean on top of the chumrah stick, a grate or something, so the Ikra didn't show you because they include Balaam and clean, but close to the quote, most close to the Maharil. The Pesach with Machmet to kasher, either because we are choshesh that maybe there really is be'en on it or something, or we're choshesh that maybe for the rhyme sheet that ain't clean, malay, mekli doesn't really exist. That was only according to the Havamin of the Gemara that there's no chatikah nas nevela, but once we accept chatikah nas nevela, then the whole, as we said many times, the whole ain't clean, malay, mekli is not true according to the rhyme. So when it comes to Pesach, we're Machmet for that. So the Shabur writes that even though we're Machmet for that, but we're not Machmet to require Liban Dabur. We're just machmet to suffice with Liban Kal. Therefore, if you want to kasher a grate, so then it doesn't take all that long to kasher the grate. You just turn on the fire for a couple of minutes, and that should be, how long should it take? Very, very long for the grate to get very, very hot. And for Liban Kal, that should be fine. Okay, good. So we have the basic process of Hagol, the basic process of Liban. We mentioned yesterday that there's some kalim that the Hagol is not going to work for. Even if the Kli had a Bliya, derech hamayim, but just the way the nature of the porous material is such that the Gemara says the Torah either al kucharis. So kucharis is the example I singled out that's impossible for kasher. What else is included in that category of kucharis? Things that would only be kasherable through libun if it would be physically practical to do it. So you have different kelim that were floating around over the years. The both Gemara and Shua, whether they have the status of a cheres or not. So porcelain was always a big issue. How does porcelain made? I don't know. Something related to cheres.
I believe it's a type of
vertical. Okay, so it's something checking out for us. Okay, so Rashi Bechel checked out for us. So we usually assume that the porcelain, these kinds of things, can't be captured through Hagala. This was the problem with the old sinks. I'm all. So what kind of sink do you have in the Heights? The metal sink, the Heights already. Moved up a little. Okay, so in the old days, when I was a kid, so all the sinks were enamel, porcelain, whatever they were. So you can't cash them for Pesach. You just have to put in these tubs and trays or whatever, different things to avoid problems. This was also an issue that some raised about the ovens. I don't know what the insides of the ovens are now. Anyone know? Regular ovens?
Now they're metal, they're not porcelain.
They're not even porcelain. So years ago, apparently the insides of the oven used to be porcelain. That's when the Bari HaShulchan raises a red flag. He says that even if you want to kasher an oven, from fleshiks to milchiks, so even though it's a parabola, and everyone would agree that Hagala was good enough, and therefore even kasher was good enough, so it should be a no-brainer to kasher an oven back and forth from fleshiks to milchiks. So the Bari HaShulchan writes that the problem is that there was enamel, again, if you can see it, and there was porcelain enamel, something in the inside, so then it has the status of a kli cheres. And when it comes to a kli cheres, so then it's ena yotz mi deidofka, even if I had terrible, the post can write, you would have to kasher dafka any day, libun. Again, Matthias is right today, I can't tell you. So there are certain kalim throughout the years that were never quite sure what their status was. So one of the big questionable kalim that the Rishon discussed with glass. Glass considered to be like kli cheres or not. Why in the world would one believe that glass is a kli cheres? Because that's where glass comes from. Of course, from sand, that's what the Gemara says, that midir avon, and that's where they made tumas kalim in glass. But after glass is not makabel tuma. But since the Gemara says that it has certain qualities like kli cheres and certain qualities like kli mateches, so they made a funny type of a takana into the tumah on glass. But in terms of metzias, it's close to a kli cheres. That's what the Rosh Hashanah said, the glass is a disaster, but it's not like a kli cheres, and therefore it's impossible to kasher. Unless you get a kasher of libun, it's going to break it. So it's not going to happen. And then the other Rishonim said, minakotsu. The other Rishonim said, no, the glass is not only a kli cheres, it's a nothing. It's not balea altogether. Why is it not balea? Because it's shia, because it's so smooth. Tomorrow has a discussion with Sefer Pesachim. That if you cook a lathe, you've got the kasher of the heart. So now the blood's soaking around inside, so whether the blood absorbs into the heart or not. The Gemara talks, I don't know too much about this, but the Gemara says that the surface of the heart is very, very smooth, so maybe things that are very smooth don't have any vuyas altogether. So the half of Rishonim said the glass is not belay altogether. One half of Rishonim said glass is belay to such an extent like glass you can have a kasher. The other half of Rishonim said it's not belay altogether. So that's where there are different Hagim Klai's all today. Sfaradim tend to be pretty bakel and glass. Ashkenazim tend to be a little bit more machmer glass. The more correct thing to do in our homes that we should try to assume that there is blia in glass, and we should try to assume that we can't use glass interchangeably for fleshiks and milchiks. Again, there are different customs as to how much we have to be machmer for this. We only use it for cold anyway. And I think that the more correct thing is to do is that you should have separate sets of glasses. But there are. We assume you can cash it glass.
We have the same standard for glass, milchik to fleshik and chametz to pesach.
There are different minhagim. Again, there are some who say everything's mutter, Pesach is mutter, and there are those who are more machmer only on Pesach. There are those who are more machmer even for Bas B'chol. I can't tell you what the minhagim of your family is, but there are different standards. We have some different caterers because they sometimes those glass plates that use the smorgasbords. So they sometimes if you have a caterer that does flesh sticks and milk, sometimes those are pretty expensive. So he wants to use. If it's only for cold food, he wants to use them interchangeably. That's such a great answer. Okay. Anyway, fine. Get back to the story. So glass was not 100% sure. Totally a few minute kind of kolos. There was a machlekes of poskim about plastic. Plastic is considered to be like glass. Or maybe plastic is kasherable. So there were different opinions. There were those who were liberal and machmer and Pesach, and there were those who were making leaving a Pesach, and those who were machmer and everything else. So we usually assume the ikar mikra, then we assume that plastic probably can be kashered. Again, whether practically we should do this all the time or not. It's a different question on the ikar mikra, then we assume that it would be okay. That was with, we spoke about this when it came to the dishwashers. So we said that one of the studim, that those, some people didn't like to kasher dishwashers was because they were plastic. So we said the mikra did, we didn't think that was such a concern, given the fact that it's a good svar that you may not have to kasher dishwashers altogether because of other considerations, wasn't done with dam, and the irish is in a kiluach, and a half dozen other things. So again, you have a lot of these things that start to come together. So the bottom line is that there are some kelim out there that for sure can be kasher, the metechus, etc. There's some kelim that for sure can't be kasher, at least to our gullah, but it would require libun. Then you have a lot of these middle kelim that we're not 100% sure what their status is. Okay? Any other questions, major questions about kashering? I mean, again, we didn't do everything in kashering. We try to give this at least the Rashi Bracha, which is the most relevant part for myself. Okay, good. All right, we're done. Okay, wish everybody well. So I just wrote the Bechina. It's okay, it's time to be up. Should be all ready.